thing happened in numerous places, especially in the book of Acts. Acts 22, beginning at verse number 1. Are you happy in the Lord?
Yes.
Paul, I'm still trying to get used to you being here on Wednesday night. Just brings me great joy. Praise God to see people wanting to be in the house of God. Acts 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He got into some real hot water. Now watch this. He got arrested in the temple. That kind of gives you an uneasy feeling about your church when you get arrested over there. You know what I mean? Just kind of makes you feel a little nervous about going next time. So, verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, who most of us know was a famous Jewish rabbi, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. He was giving them a good word. If you want somebody to listen to you, give them a good word. Verse 4, and I persecuted, listen how honest he gets here, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I receive letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light. Somebody say, great light.
Great light.
Have you ever left a service and you felt in your heart, I think I saw, heard, saw revelation, or I saw great light tonight. I got a hold of something that will help me in my life. Wow. You believe that God has great light for us?
Yes.
So, coming down, verse number 7, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 8. And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. That must have been a shock. Verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Isn't that neat, what the question that he asked? He didn't say, what shall I analyze? What shall I study? What shall I read up on? He didn't say any of that, did he? What, verse 10, what shall I do? Lord, it's the book of Acts, not the book of observations, right? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory, here it is again, of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report, oh, I'm sorry, the needle got stuck. I'm so sorry. Having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, one of my favorite verses on baptism, which will be the end of the reading of my text. But I just thought I'd end right there because I love this verse. And now why tarriest thou? That means, why do you put it off? We could say in lingo today, why do you procrastinate? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And those, I dedicate these next few comments to those who believe that baptism isn't essential unto salvation. And wash away thy sins. Who is evermore going to heaven without their sins washed away? And by the way, it's not the water. If it was the water, we would surround this church with a pond. And we'd push people out there through the windows into the pond. Get them saved. It's not the water that cleanses from sin. It's the blood. And then I like the last part of the verse. Calling on the name of the Lord. Of course, from Acts 9, you know when Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't say, "I'm the second person of the theoretical Trinity." He said, "I am Jesus." He said, "Who art thou, Lord? God of heaven and Lord of earth." I mean, who art thou? He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." I'm Jesus. That's my name. Woo, praise God. I don't know. I love to dance around Revelation once in a while. Lord, give us understanding tonight, God. Lord Jesus, this is your word. God, this is your word. It's a good word. It's from the scriptures that, Lord, you quickened, and you had men like Dr. Luke here write by inspiration. Help us to mine out of this some insight that could help us. Would you pray that with me, Lord? Help me with something from your word tonight. Help me with something from your word tonight, God. We don't come in arrogance. We don't come in smugness. We don't come, Lord, in our own self-importance. We come humbly. We come needy, Lord. We come hungry, God. We want you. We desire you. Who, if you desire God, would you wave that hand to the Lord like a wave offering? We desire you, Lord. Yes, indeed, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. He was, at least to the religious folks then, he was in trouble. You know, the religious people. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about the gripping power of your testimony. The gripping power of your testimony. I believe that you could prove this if you were to read, especially if you were to read the book of Acts. Like if you just sat down and read the book of Acts, you would see Paul doing this numerous times. He had what I call a default setting. He had a default setting. What does that mean? Well, he had something that he could always go to if things got in a bind. He had, you know, if he couldn't remember that next scripture, he always had a testimony. And he's in hot water. He gets arrested at church. Good grief. Bad grief. Wow. Gets arrested at church. And they were making accusations. And when you read the chapter before this one, they had a whole bunch of crazy stuff on him that wasn't even close to being accurate. So instead of just getting up and going, "It's all a pack of lies," which, you know, sometimes we mean well, we get so defensive. Nobody probably in this room fits that. I mean, you know. Now, he could have just gone crazy. He could have lost his cool. I mean, what happens to people when you get accused of something, and you know it's not, well, you know it's not even, when you read that chapter, they were saying things about him that we know now, and it was like ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. Instead of going off on them, all the credibility we lose when we spend our life just going off on people. You know, your credibility is a precious treasure. Instead of doing that, he gives his testimony.
Yes.
That was his default setting. When all else fails and you're not quite sure what you're supposed to do, that at the very least, give your testimony. I know of a famous, if I said his name, just about everybody in the room would go, oh, yeah, you know, famous singer, I've heard of him, who several years ago, and some folks still don't know this, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when it wasn't as popular as it is now. And he had people that sort of kind of took him to task over it because he was really excited about it. And anyway, he engaged them and they kind of tried to beat him up. And finally the smoke cleared and he said, look, I live in this skin. Here, pinch me, sis. I live in this body. See, you don't, I do. You can't tell, his testimony was, you can't tell me what's happened in here because you don't live in here. I do.
That's good.
And when he said that, all of a sudden, see, the person with an argument is not near as powerful and persuasive as the person with a testimony. God, woo, man, you want me to go a little further here? God has given you and given me one of the most viable, powerful, dynamic weapons in the universe. And to show you how true that is, and you hang on to those ideas, Sister Amber. You got some good stuff coming down the pike. We're going to be hearing from you very soon. Maybe tonight if I get really fired up. She's been working on some thoughts and I can't wait to hear them. Praise God, because she's a prayer warrior and she's a thinker. And she's creative and she's an outreach person. They're called soul winners. You know what I mean? Now, do you know that most of the new people that come to our church come because one of our new people witnessed to them? Nicole, how many folks did you have out on Sunday? You had a passel, as they say in the South. You had a bunch, and they all loved you. And most, I heard this report that almost all of our visitors said, we're coming back. We're coming back. But you had some folks, and there were some others that others brought. In other words, the most dynamic people, the most dynamic soul winners often in a church are people who have just prayed through. And I'll tell you why. Because they have a fresh testimony.
Yes.
Lift your hand. Let's thank God for that. Would you do that with me? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, you can try to refute somebody's doctrine, although they're going to have to really know the word and twist it or something to beat us at the doctrinal game. And if we know the word like we should know the word, it should not even be a close even close, all right? Thank you, Lord, for strong doctrine. But when it comes to your testimony, nobody's just like you in the universe. You are a unique expression. You are a piece of the love of God. And there's nobody quite like you in the world or in the universe. And so your testimony is unique. When you're witnessing, oh man, we are dancing on the edge. You can feel it. Family Sunday. Even at the picnic. That's about the most evangelistic picnic I've ever been to. We're dancing on the edge of an incoming harvest. And you say, well, you know, Pastor Meadows, I can't quote scripture like you. I wouldn't expect you to. Okay, thank you if that blesses you. But I had to work at that. I would like you to memorize a few verses to help you in your witnessing and stuff. But know this, when you're out there, and you're communicating, never forget the gripping power of your testimony. Don't do anything to undermine your own testimony, because when you do, you're giving your weapon to the enemy. I think I'll say that again because that's not my notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost in it. When you let your testimony be undermined through sloppiness, through unholiness, impurity, whatever it would be, you're giving your testimony away to the enemy. He is disarming you because one of your greatest weapons is your specific, anointed, unique testimony. So, you and I also have a default setting. When we don't remember that verse, how can you forget your testimony? You do, you know, you don't have, well, let me see here. Give me a cue card. Let's see, back in 49. You don't need a cue card. It's your testimony. Businesses, have you noticed this? I mean, television, telegram, tell a woman. They said three ways to get a message out. Anyway, you know, pray for me. Okay. That's from years ago, you can tell. But anyway, they get people testifying about a product because they realize that testimony. As a matter of fact, many times when I Google, I'll go up to Amazon, Brother Aaron, and I will type in a product that I'm thinking of getting. Maybe it's could be a nutritional. You know, could be. I won't say if it is, but it might be, you know. And I'll type in this name of this product. And it'll bring up different brands. And I'll look for the one. See, this got the biggest, that little blue, like a little blue number. You know, like, oh my lands. I was looking at colognes. And I looked up one that they had me put on yesterday, and I brought it up on Amazon. I couldn't get Wi-Fi there outside of Perfumania, you know, tell them all. So when I got back home, I typed it in, and boom, up came 800 and some testimonies, reviews, 4.5-star, average, 4.5-star, average. And I'm thinking, I should have bought that cologne. If I'd known it had 800 and some testimonies and reviews, positive reviews, I probably would have bought some. And here's the best thing of all. It was on the discount shelf. Now, if you forget the scripture, if you forget what to say, what to do, default setting, go to your testimony. If your testimony isn't persuasive, that's your fault. Because everything is built in this kingdom business for it to be persuasive. And if it's not persuasive, you're undermining it. And there's an altar here, and let's get some repentance in and rebuild it, because your testimony is your greatest weapon. Remember in John chapter 9, he heals a blind man, and all of a sudden there is this big commotion. I never forget Jeff Arnold talk about how he got kicked out of church, and as part of his testimony. And he was talking about, I've been kicked out of bars, you know. I've been kicked out of taverns because the Holy Ghost moved on him, you know, and moved on his wife. And she had ridden a bus years before as a child on a UPC bus, apostolic bus. And so now the Lord is drawing Jeff into the truth. And some God moved on him or something at this denominational church, and they got kicked out. And he was talking about how, do you know how weird it is to get kicked out? I mean, just out of a church. I mean, this, you know, for being too demonstrative or whatever, you know. It was saying it's just so weird. I'm used to getting kicked out of bars and taverns when I was living for the devil, but I'm not used to this kicking out of the church. But this is what was happening. And they didn't want anybody to admit that Jesus was the Christ, or to say that he was, or that he did this thing, or that. So they're talking to his parents. This blind man's ex-blind man's parents, and they basically said, well, you know, we're not sure, but he's of age. Ask our boy. He's old enough. He can answer. What were they doing? They didn't want to get kicked out of church, and that was the threat that was out and about, was that you say too much about this Christ, and boot, we'll give you the boot instead of the left hand or right hand of fellowship, the left boot of disfellowship, you know. You say too much about this. And so they said, you know, talk to him. He's of age. So listen to this, John 9, verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. What a dumb thing to say. Really? Probably. Well, there's no probably. There's no wobble in this. There's no, the holiest man who ever lived. This is written in reference to the holiest man who ever lived. Know this, that when you get out there in the flow of things, there are going to be stupid things said about you. John Wesley got discouraged one time because he hadn't had anything bad said about him that he knew of in a long time. He felt, so what am I doing wrong, God? I'm used to things being thrown at me. I'm used to, but nothing has happened for quite a while. He got down on his knees and repented, asked God's forgiveness, was having a loud prayer meeting, and somebody threw, and if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while since I read the story, but if I'm not mistaken, it was a brick. Has anybody ever been hit by a flying brick? Okay, I'm not going to ask about other things like frying pans, and I'll just keep it in the brick category. Okay. So when that happened, he got so excited. He jumped up and began to rejoice. What a guy. We go, oh, God, they don't like me. I feel so bad. We melt down into the biggest, fattest drama we can build. And he's jumping up and rejoicing that he must be doing something right, because somebody, Derek, threw something at him. So I'm throwing something at you. And you and you and you. But it's not a brick. It's a challenge, and it's a word, and it's this. Don't be afraid to have a default setting. Don't be afraid to go to your testimony if you forget everything else. And if you don't have one, hang around here until you. Because it's going to be your greatest weapon. Let's lift our hands and thank God for that, would you? With me, oh, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for me and you, and you, people of God, our people of God, our family, and people that we know that maybe aren't in this church family, Lord. Things that you've done. Answers to prayer. And God, when we get a little bit of persecution or disagreement, help us to rejoice. and let it add joy to us instead of depression. Oh, praise God. Watch this. I love it. Now, Brother Dinkins, I don't know if I've ever told him this. So, Brother Dinkins, put your seatbelt on. Okay. Cinch it up. Being as skinny, if I was as skinny as you. Boy, ain't that a pipe dream. Anyway, put your helmet, crash helmet on. Use that Velcro. You know. Okay. I don't think I've ever said this to him. One of my favorite things about Brother Dinkins preaching is that, now, I don't think I've ever told him this. I love it when he starts telling his testimony. And you would think, well, you know what? I shared that years ago. You know. I said it several times. No, you never say, when you give your testimony, you never give it the same. As a matter of fact, if you'll be sensitive to the Holy Ghost that's moving on you, when depending on who you're speaking to, the Spirit of God will emphasize things that you probably wouldn't, but he's moving through you. And his anointing's on you, and he'll emphasize something about your testimony that maybe you don't normally bring out, but the Spirit of God wants to bring it out because that's your weapon. And I've never gotten tired of hearing him talk about what God delivered him from and how he met his beautiful wife and how committed she was to the beautiful truths that she understood. And how God worked in their relationship, their friendship, and in his heart and life. It's an awesome thing. Now, I want to tell you, at this juncture, one of the coolest. Does everybody like cool? Okay. One of the coolest things about your testimony. Would anybody, I've never, as far as I know, I've never said this quite like this in my life, my short life. Yes. Thank you, Jasmine. It makes me want to fall on the floor and laugh too. Okay. One of the coolest things about your testimony is you're still building it. God is still helping you build it. It's a growing thing. It's your finest, most dynamic weapon. And he's adding to it. So you see, when I went through 2 weeks of physical agony, and I ended up in a wheelchair with kidney stones. And when I knew I had to go to that midwinter camp meeting that I led for several years, actually it was kind of one of the team members that helped author that meeting and begin and launch that meeting. And I had to go knowing that I could have an attack in one of the services that I could get terribly embarrassed in the middle of a powerful service by a kidney stone attack. Let's take a poll. I feel a poll coming on. You know what I mean? How many of you have ever had a kidney stone attack? Lift your hands. Because some of you might have that I don't. Okay, several of us. Okay, should we tell them they don't know what they're missing? Should we? Okay. So, in that, and I believe it was the first service, there was a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. Now, I had these big x-rays, you know, these huge x-rays, and it showed there's one there, and there's one there, and there's one there, and one there, one there, one there. Why have one when you're going to have an apartment complex? Going, you know, charge rent. Anyhow, somewhere in the middle of that move of the Spirit of God, I threw my right hand up just like I was plugging my electric and tried with all of what little strength I had to pull down some of his healing virtue. And all of my pain disappeared. All my kidney stones dissolved and disappeared. I've never had them ever since that day years ago. I give you praise, Lord, but I want to tell you that he added something into my war chest. He added something to my testimony. See what I'm saying? Your testimony is a growing situation. It's either getting smaller, getting larger, it's either shrinking or it's expanding. God's desire is for it to expand. Sister Esther, that was, I got to the, you know, we were praying, do our little circle, you know. I think this place is called Jericho, and we like to walk around the walls. You know, we have prayer. It's a neat thing. It's a really cool thing. And I got about to that baptistry, which is one of my favorite corners in the building. The baptistry, I have a fondness for it. And she stepped over to sort of like give me an idea of how to help somebody. You know, like an idea, like somebody that we both hugely loved and admired. At least I had come already to. But she's known them longer than me, much longer. New to me, but not to her. But as she was sharing this idea, actually almost like a request, something I remember saying, I don't know if you remember this, but something along the lines of, all this that you're going through is going to be in your tool chest, and there's coming a day when you're going to reach into the tool chest, and you're going to pull something out of it that you got in the midst of all this trauma and pain, and God's going to use you to take that and minister. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that it was happening right there. Part of her testimony rises up in her heart and becomes a strategy. And that's why we prayed for Jennifer, because there were so many similarities. So many similarities. See, she went to her default, her testimony, and then those words that I had spoken. I think you probably remember them. I seem like I do, because I think I said them more than once. Everything, everything. See, that's the deal. You got to remember that the word testimony starts with test. I know that's a cerebral thought, such a deep thought, you know, but the word starts with T-E-S-T. It starts with test, and God builds testimonies out of tests. And see, that's the deal. See, as we progress, as we grow, as we graduate, as we pass our tests, our testimony increases. If we fail and we have to go around the mountain again or go through the same thing again because we didn't learn anything from it, then our testimony suffers. Just a thought. When I lay in bed, Brother Mike, with pain right in this region that felt like, you know, it wasn't the kidney stone thing. Diverticulitis. I had friends that came down to see us from Wisconsin, and I couldn't hardly meet with them because I was in so much agony. And I remember that night I had that big, bold, printed Bible. Not the preaching Bible that you can read from the moon. But not quite that large. But, you know, it was pretty bold print. And I turned over to, I believe it was Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with and with his stripes we are healed. And I said, God, it's got to work tonight because I'm out of medicine. It's got to work tonight because if I wake up in the morning and it doesn't work, I'm in a real big, bad way. Help me, Jesus. Heal me. Touch me, Jesus. I woke up the next morning. All the pain was gone. It's never come back. I thank you, Jesus. And he just added to my testimony. See, everything that we're going through, if we prevail, if we hang in there, if we don't give up, if we deepen and we pray and we consecrate, everything becomes a part of our most anointed, most valuable weapon. Your testimony, my testimony. Let's thank God for that. Would you with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I praise you for it. Thank you for a testimony. Thank you for the power, the weight, the anointing, the unction that rides on a person's genuine, sincere, transparent testimony. And so the blind man, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Then he says, because they were all upset, big commotion going on. One thing I know, probably couldn't think of a lot of scripture, but he says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. No defense against the testimony. They can't take it apart because they don't live in his skin. He lives in his skin. He knows what happened to him. You know what happened to you. Nobody can defeat the power of an anointed testimony. Defend it. Protect it. Build it. Guard it. It carries that gripping attention. Nobody's got one quite like you. Yeah. And it's still growing. Angela, I don't know. How old were you when you got the Holy Ghost?
8.
You were 8. You didn't even stumble or mumble when you remember. How old were you when you were baptized?
I was 10.
You get baptized 2 years later. You were afraid of water. When you got baptized, were you the one that a leg was sticking out? And my brother, your daddy, said, oh, that's got to go down too. That's my brother. Don't mess with Brother Bruce. Hallelujah. Full coverage. He should have sold insurance. Full coverage. Okay. So, you had a testimony for many things, and there are probably other factors. But when you, through a weird disease, you ended up in your wheelchair with 5 kids and a hyperactive husband. A very active husband to take care of. See, it'd be one thing if it was just her and him. That'd be a big challenge all by itself, but to have 5 kids depending on you, and now you have to ride around in a wheelchair, and you can't do 2/3 of the stuff that you used to do because this weird disease has attacked you. But you see, you prevailed. You believed God. There was a day, and it happened at church, didn't it? It happened where?
At home.
You came out of that chair. You disowned it. And didn't you do some dancing? Just tell us a little bit real quick.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was dancing for like 2-3 days straight all over the house. I couldn't. It was hard to stop. I was on the phone, people were calling, and what happened? And I would tell the story, I don't know how many times, over and over and over again, of what God had done. I came out of my grave. I came out of that room and walking in a perfect, normal way that God wanted me to walk.
Would you stand up and just to tell somebody that needs a healing that you're here to help convince them that God wants to heal them? Would you tell them that?
God wants to heal you. His word over and over and over tells us that. And I kept telling the Lord, because there's a scripture he had given me to hang on to. And it says, oh man, I can't remember, but I'll just tell my testimony about your infirmity. It was about how I don't know how long my moment, I kept telling the Lord, I don't know how long my moment is, God, whether it's forever or whether it's today or tomorrow, whatever. God, you get some glory out of this and it'll be okay. And I just kept reminding the Lord of that scripture he gave me and I kept holding on to it. It was my promise. And that day that the doctor had given me a prognosis of some kind, he didn't know for sure what he could tell me, but I went home and I just, that wasn't enough for me. All the way home, my friend that had gone with me, we were both thought it was so weird that the doctor spoke the way he did. But I had asked the Lord before, 2 weeks before, I said, God, I don't know how to pray about this doctor's visit. And instantly, I believe it was the Lord who began to pray out of me. I began to say the words, God, when the doctor shows up in that room, you begin to speak through him to me. And so he did his weird stuff. He really did. He didn't do what every other doctor does. And Stephen, we were almost upset when we left there, just like, and confused. And on the way home from Milwaukee to Fond du Lac, we began to talk about what had happened and we began to build each other up because I began to say, but God's not the author of confusion. And we began to feel like his presence was in the actual car with us. I get home and I'm struggling with my cane and everything to get up. And I was sharing this with Jennifer again the other day. You know, the slight incline, anybody who has trouble with your legs, you know what it feels like. It feels like you're climbing a mountain. It's just very slight. I never even noticed that slant in the pavement going up towards my porch, but it felt like a mountain, like I'm climbing a mountain just to get to my steps in the front door. And so it just wear me out. The right side of my body would be completely shaken. I went in, I shared with my husband what had been said, but I was like, that's not enough. We need to get some prayer, you know, whatever. But I was like, I had to get a hold of God. And I went into my room and I just knelt at my bed. And I said, the only English words I remember saying was, God, do I believe the doctors or not? And from that moment on, I got up and I began to walk the little bit of space that was around my bed. And I began to just pray in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that the Holy Ghost was speaking things through me that I didn't even know what was being spoken. And it was during that, there was a mirror standing against the wall. And I could only see like halfway down. And as I began to take steps, I began to see my legs completely healed and walking totally normal. I began to shout. I began to rebuke any devil that possibly could have come against me, anything. I knew that my Jesus had just done something. He takes our infirmities. He takes iniquities and he restores us to complete wholeness. Hallelujah. And that's what he did for me. And he can do it for you. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you.
Come on, lift your hands and let's give God praise. What an awesome God. What a testimony. What a testimony. In Jesus' name, what a testimony. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. You're God's translation. You want to talk about Amplified? You want to talk about the Message? You are, I am, we are God's translation. Because God had translated him. For before his translation or the catching away, he had this testimony that he had this testimony that he pleased God. From Hebrews 11 verse 5. Protect your testimony. I was visiting. Nobody fell asleep when she was testifying. Nobody said, can I have some coffee, please? I can't survive this service. I'm so bored to death. There's something about a testimony. And God just added to your tool chest. He just expanded your testimony and made you even more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Yes, he did. I was staying with some some folks that I was connected to, sort of almost shirt tail or, you know, anyway, and I'm staying in the bottom of their house. And when I opened the fridge and I saw, you know, they're supposed to have some of the truth. They were supposed to have some of what you and I walk in. Maybe not all. See, I want to celebrate people when they get a piece of the truth. Yes. I'm not waiting until they get it all. I'm going to celebrate because if I can affirm them, you know, and bless them and celebrate with them, then it'll be easier to trip over into the next thing. But I opened the fridge, and when I saw what was in the fridge, all of a sudden, all the possible testimony drained out through the floor. When I saw the alcohol in the fridge. Now, I'm just being honest with you. You have a testimony, but you're going to have to fight to preserve it. You're going to have to wrestle. You're going to have to put up some spiritual fisticuffs because the enemy wants to steal your thunder. I'm thinking of a couple that I was, let's just say at one time I was their pastor years ago. And they had many pastors, but I wished them well. But when they would get up on Facebook and have a slug fest on Facebook in front of hundreds, maybe thousands, people, their testimony disappear. See, if it's this valuable, the enemy is a thief, and a thief has to have some understanding of values to be an effective thief, right? He knows how valuable your testimony is, and he's out to steal it. And if you're going to hold on to it and grow it and expand it, you have to fight over it. Guard it, because it is your most effective weapon. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, referring to the Lord, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Somebody tied into Paul's testimony. It was a key persuasive ingredient. Because our testimony, he said, among you was believed. What are you known for? What do people think of when they think of you? I know some people never graduated from Moody Bible Institute. You don't know what I just said. So I'll say it in the abbreviated. I know some people that have never graduated from being moody. They don't know it, but listen to this. They're building a weird testimony of a person who is moody and emotional. You're not sure which rendition of them you run into. Hey, I'm going to tell you what happened to me, and then I'm going to give you a phrase that I believe the Lord put in my mouth, okay? I love, like, clean water. I mean, like purified, like distilled water, okay? I love spring water, too, because minerals in it and different things. But there are some uses of distilled water that you can do some stuff with that, and I won't go into what I was doing, but it's really neat what I was doing, but it'd be too deep. And my wife, when I go this way, she goes, honey, don't go there, you know. Yes, honey, yes, ma'am. Don't go Einstein in on them. Okay, it's too deep. Okay, so I was doing this neat thing, but I needed distilled water and didn't have any. Well, I knew that the only place in a city of roughly 2 million, I've heard different accounts of that, but I mean all the suburbs and everything, was there's a store right next to the building we're going to be in this week called Raisin Rack. Right next to Calvary's Raisin Rack. And they have a bunch of machines back there. Some of them, you know, make your own peanut butter, different things. But over there on the other side, they've got their distilling machinery. And it broke weeks ago. So yesterday, Brother Dinkins knows this. I know I was going to have to dance around in the Northwoods. Got a new little. I got to get this done. Got to see Aunt Nina. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to, you know, counseling. Got this. Got that. Got to stop by the mall. Got to meet up with Brother Katar. Give him his offer. On and on it went. Right? I won't be up in the Northwoods, but I call the Northwoods. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this big old jug with me. Empty is what I take to that distiller, and that distilling. When I say distiller, it sounds like you're making something else. I'm distilling water distiller. Okay. Not making moonshine. It's filling it up with water. So, anyway, nothing like being articulate. Praise God. When you get specific, you get dynamic. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I'm thinking, before I go up there, I better call and just make sure that they fixed it, right? Since I'm going to drive extra miles. Get my clean water. And I got him on the phone and I said, have you fixed that water distiller? And he said, no. And they sounded real weird on the phone, like they didn't want to talk about it. And I thought, it's been broken for weeks. I said, you know, you guys have a classy thing up there, your classy store. I started building them up because I was getting ready to go for the knockout punch. Thank you, Mr. Mayweather. Okay. So, and I really meant it because I'm up there different times and they have some equipment there. I can't find one of those anywhere else in the city, and they admitted that too. But they got real funny, like, we have no plans to fix it. And this is what I'm saying, watch this, I'm going to give you the words that the Lord, I believe the Lord put some words in my mouth. There's no one else in town that has one. You are a classy company. And then I said this, and I wish you'd write this down. I said, why let your unique break down and not work? Why let your unique break down and not work? And that's what I want to say to you about your testimony. Why let your unique break down and not work? You have a unique testimony. Listen to this from Hebrews 3 verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful. Somebody shout faithful. In all his house as a servant for a testimony. How do you build a testimony without faithfulness? You don't. And I know that I'm preaching to faithful people, so I'm just saying that part of your testimony is your consistency. And without it, your testimony begins to fragment and dissolve. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. We could never over explain the value, the power, the explosiveness, the gripping influence that your testimony has. I will tell you that God wants to use it. Feel the presence of God here as we soften the lights. God wants to use it But I challenge you. Don't throw it away. Don't neglect it. Don't sit on it. Wrestle for it. Because when you have an effective testimony, what that means is there are going to be people that sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb because they were attracted to these truths by your testimony. Oh, praise God. If you want that, lift those hands with my, I'm going to lift my hand with yours. Woo, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you.